Welcome to the So You Wanna Be a Data Scientist podcast. Here we interview awesome data scientists and other data professionals. This show is part of the website soyouwannabeadatascientist.com. After listening, take my free data science Kickstarter course to learn what it takes to become a data scientist. In the meantime, enjoy the episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to So You Wanna Be a Data Scientist podcast. Today, I have Ceren İyim with me from Turkey. She's a machine learning engineer at Data Revenue. So she's a remote worker that lives in Turkey and works for a company in Germany. Welcome, Ceren.
Hello, Musra. Thanks for having me today. Actually, we have an interesting story with Musra. Can I share it, Musra?
Of course. Go ahead.
We studied in the same college, but I mean, we only know our faces. But we actually know each other when we became data scientists through this network of data scientists and writing blog posts. So I'm really happy to know you, Musra. And again, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's very nice having you here. And yeah, I think it's going to be a very fun recording. So welcome again. And I want to dive directly into questions. So you work remotely at this company called Data Revenue. But what does this company do? What is the mission of this company?
So what we do is that, in one sentence, I can say we are a machine learning startup company and we are developing machine learning solutions for other companies, like enterprises or other startups, or these days mainly medical research companies. So I'm not building one product. I may work on different projects that with our current clients. This is what Data Revenue do.
Okay, so can we say that you're kind of providing machine learning solutions to your clients?
Yeah, like I can say machine learning consultancy, I would say, but not like in the enterprise consulting manner. We are all developers and machine learning engineers, so that we are basically bringing our machine learning know-how to different domains. Like it can be like sales or automotive or medical research. So
nice. So have you worked for a lot of different domains so far?
Yeah, at the first days in Data Revenue, I worked for a festival ticket seller company and analyzed its data. And after that, I've joined to a project that analyzes the genomics data and predicting rare diseases using that data. So I would say two phases, like first the initial phase of getting used to company and like I would say the job itself, and then I moved to this project where I work with like six of my colleagues together.
Oh, I see. Nice. Okay, so I want to hear more about the company, but I also want to hear about you. How did you become a machine learning engineer?
Can we use the terms like machine learning engineer and data scientist interchangeably just for this context? Because I didn't intend to become a machine learning engineer. I intend to become a data scientist. But I become a machine learning engineer, and I think it's more fun and more challenging than I thought initially. And what is my background is I studied engineering at college, and then I did something different than being a data scientist for 4 years. Like I worked as a consultant, mainly in transportation and logistics industry, in different consulting firms, like mostly enterprise consulting. But then I felt that I need some change because I was feeling that I don't want to get up every day. And when you have that feeling, it means you need to change something in your life. So so I changed what I do. I quit my job as consultant, I would say, transportation and logistics consultant. And then first I looked for what I can do for the next years in my life. And I started to do some online courses, like do some research. What can I do? I had some project management experience. Can I do project management? And I was already aiming to find some remote work at that time, even before pandemic. So I searched my options and I found this course in Code Academy, Data Science Track. And I thought, oh, okay, what it is? Let's have a look at it. And what I realized is it is exactly the same thing that I enjoy in college. I mean, the contents were really similar, the courses that I enjoy at college, like modeling, maybe some simulation, or, you know, using theoretical mathematical knowledge to build some concrete things. So I hooked up that on that course and I just moved on. And I thought, oh, okay, now they call data science what I love, like always, doing analysis and building stuff on top of it. So this is my story, I would say, like the background. And after that Code Academy course, I did several other courses. Of course, the Andrew Ng's most famous machine learning course. But I also revisited my notes and my knowledge in college. So it also really helped me to have a strong theoretical foundation, I would say.
Nice. So you basically already had some background in maybe mathematics and technical matters from university, and then you build on top of it with some courses, some online courses.
Yeah, the main thing I learned is like learn to coding and learn Python, because I was not that much of a coder before that. So this is one of the main things that I learned during that switching of careers.
And did you also learn coding from online courses?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And then you found a job and now you're working as a machine learning engineer, especially a remote one. Can you tell us a bit about how that finding a remote position went for you? Because I feel like that's something that a lot of people want to have at this point.
Yeah, so let me start by highlighting that. At the time that I was looking for a remote job, it's not that much available because there was no pandemic in the world. Then it became that much available and that much of a normal thing in life. So how was the search for a remote position? Remote position is, I definitely didn't look for it in the LinkedIn, but now I guess everyone can also find it in the LinkedIn because I think it's also very straightforward to have a remote position right now in these days. I looked for the positions in the startup world, like the job listing websites that have these startups positions, because I also wanted to change the environment that I work. Like I want to be in a more open, more transparent environment. So I mainly use like angel.co or Y Combinator's Hacker News page. I mainly use them to search for a position. I literally invested some time in it. Like I would say 1 or 2 hours every day. And it, at some point it can be frustrating. And what I would say, like, because job search is something that you really have to have this stamina, you know, do it every day. Yeah, but I was lucky to find it before I lost this stamina, you know, or feel frustrated.
I know. Yeah, it's a very hard process. But is everyone at your company working remotely, or is it a normally in-house company that just became remote for the pandemic?
No, they were remote before that, and we have no office. Like we were fully remote, scattered around the world.
Nice.
In different time zones, yes.
Yeah, I think if this pandemic did one good thing, that was to prove to every company in the world that they can, in fact, work remotely. And it's not going to be that bad.
Exactly. And this was my claim, you know, 5 years ago, like when I graduated, this was my claim. Why we're going to offices? Why we need to wear like formal clothes if we are going to do our job, right?
Yeah, exactly. All you do is sit in front of your computer at a desk anyways. You don't really do many different things other than like what you do at home, so.
And I have one more claim on that, is that I think it's you become more productive when you work from home. I mean, this is my personal opinion, but you know, in an office, if it's an open office, you have lots of distractions around you, so.
Yeah. You end up taking long lunches, long coffee breaks with colleagues.
Exactly.
Okay, so you mentioned a little bit already that you realized while doing online courses that data science was something that was really fun for you. So that was the reason that you chose to go towards machine learning or data science. But was there any other reason that kind of pushed you towards data science in general?
There was one more reason, and it was maybe it may sound like a cliche, but it's not for me. It's to create some impact, like because in my previous experiences, we were so big teams, and we were I found our causes like trivial or not motivated through it. But I thought that machine learning is an area that it's gonna change the world from every aspect. And if you want to create something good out of it, you can do it. Like, I want to be one of those doers.
Okay, so now we're talking about doing things for the right reason. I want to ask you about the projects, a little bit more about the projects that you mentioned. I understand this might not be possible for everyone to talk about, like, the details of their projects. It might be confidential, but can you give us a general idea of what are some projects that you're doing, or maybe your company is doing? You know, this could be like predicting something or trying to model this or that.
Yeah. So I'm working on one project right now, and it's about predicting rare genomic diseases using the genomics data. And at the time I joined, the ML solution is already there, and predictions are already generated by the pipeline or by the product build. So currently I'm contributing to that project from different aspects, and sometimes I work in the data cleaning part, or sometimes we need to add one more step to this pipeline, this data pipeline, like pre-processing step, or we just need to add a new feature to that product. So this is how I work on this project, as much as I can tell, you know.
No, I get that, yeah. And now, do you know what the typical deliverable to your clients is? Do you deliver a whole software or just a model that's ready to be implemented in their systems, or, you know, maybe just a presentation?
So our deliverables are mostly like, it could be a new feature to the existing product, or it can be a new release that considers another element while doing predictions, or that kind of things. We call it a deliverable, and we work towards it.
Yeah, so you're highly integrated with the client's work then?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, cool. And how do projects happen? Do clients come to you?
We have a pretty active blog page, and I think there are really interesting blog posts there. I'm also reading and learning a lot of things related to our domain that we are working, or, you know, or related to Python or its packages or its tools. So I think clients come through those blog posts, like as I do, they read them and they find that we can be a right partner for them, and they came to us like this.
Wow, that's very cool. Are you writing too? Because Jaren has a very nice Medium page or Medium account, I guess. I'll leave the link below the podcast, but in the podcast notes. Are you also contributing to the blog?
Not right now. We have a dedicated team for that, but we are open to that if we have time and we can do that. And I would like to do that. Like, one day I want to write one blog post for my company as well.
Yeah, I mean, you already have the skills, you know, kind of how to write and present your project. So I think that would be
thanks,
really
Mistra.
Okay, so can you tell us a bit about how does a normal weekday look like for you? Like, you wake up, you pour your coffee, you sit in front of your computer, then what kind of tasks do you do?
Well, first I open Slack. I catch up with what happened yesterday, because, you know, we are working in different time zones. So I try to catch up with yesterday, and then I look at our Jira board, like what is planned for today, what needs to be done, who is assigned to which task, what I'm assigned to, if I have already assigned task, I just continue with it. But if I don't have a assigned task, I just pick one and communicate to my team, okay, I'm going to do this, we're going to do blah, blah about this, right? And then I start working on it. So the 80% of my day, I would say, understanding a task, a scope of it, and then developing it. And then the remaining part is the communicating with the team and, integrating with the team.
Nice. And how much of your work is then these people-facing aspects? Do you have a lot of meetings?
Actually, no. We always communicate through Slack, like within our team, but I don't have a client-facing role right now. But maybe this will change in the future. Like, I don't know.
Or do you also get in touch with clients? Maybe have, discussions with them?
Not very often, because it's done by our project manager, or our senior engineers mostly. And then we communicate with them, like, what to do and what to develop, actually.
Nice. So it's basically a dream job. You don't have to deal with clients. You just have to do the nice and creative work.
Yeah, but at some time I will be there. I felt that, like, as I develop and as I improve myself, it will be also interesting to do that. I mean, aspects.
No, definitely. Yeah, I mean, jokes aside, it's very, I think it's a whole different layer of work to actually talk to clients, trying to understand what they want and trying to also tell them what you can provide to them so everyone is on the same page. I think that's a whole separate skill set.
Exactly.
It's very valuable.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said you're working with 6 people right now,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So is that your team that works on the same project, or is that like the machine learning team in your company that's 6 people?
No, actually, we are like 11 engineers in total. But I mean, we can also have some support from other engineers that do not work on our project currently. So it's like everybody shares knowledge. And I would say it's a totally flat team, like, everybody's developing something. For example, I always talk with our CTO every day, how to do it, have support from him. Or he's also developing like the tasks like me. So there's no that kind of hierarchies, and it's totally flat and it's totally supportive environment. And I really appreciate that.
So, and you're also not working alone in a project. You have some other colleagues that are working with you.
Yeah, 6 people.
Okay, so what are the tools that you're using often? It could be, you know, programming language or an IDE or the cloud services. What are the things, skills that you needed to gain for this job?
The most essential one is Python. And the second thing is, I think, it's Docker, I would say, because it's also part of the interviewing process that they were really clear about it. We use Docker, we use Python, we automate our pipelines with Docker. So I use PyCharm as an IDE, and also Git. Like, it's the really important part of my job. Like, we work through one repository, and we create PRs, we create branches, and so on. And to be honest, like, I don't know that much of a Git before. I learned it on the job, and I really, I'm not a Git ninja right now, but it really impresses me every day.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, right? So for every company, there are different tool sets that they're using, but sometimes, unless it's a very, very core tool, you can also learn it after you start working. So you don't have to know about every single technology out there to find a job.
Can I tell you an interesting story about this? While I was self-teaching myself, I had a to-do item on my list is learn Git. And I did some courses. I read through how to use Git, the terminology it uses. Mm-hmm. But it didn't help that much. But now I'm learning it, you know, on the job. And then I actually use the Git itself. So sometimes you need to learn while you are using it. So it doesn't help every time just reading it through or doing the online courses. So
yeah, most of the time, these things are things that you can learn most effectively when you actually need to use them. It's kind of, you know, Git, for example, is a good example of this. You can't really sit down and learn about Git if there is nothing that you want to version control. Okay, so I also want to talk to you about how you feel about your job, because this is your first job as a machine learning engineer and also first remote job. So what is the most exciting thing about your job, apart from it being your first job and it being a job that you really like?
The most exciting part is I think that we are doing something good. Like there's a cause. And I feel motivated through that cause, like, you know, helping people to find out about their diseases before even they have the symptoms, I would say, compared to, you know, just increasing some profit of a company. That's my comparison base. And the other most exciting part is that I learn every day, each day, new thing, like, either from the domain or from a technical point of view regarding Python, a package, or something about best practices of coding. Like every day I'm learning new things. So this is the other most exciting part of my job.
That's cool. And what about the most boring part of it?
I think this is a tricky question, right? So the most boring part, I would say, so not every task is directly related to building a model itself or tuning a model itself. So not directly related to the machine learning practices. Sometimes I just, you know, do something in the database or, you know, refactor some code to make it cleaner or to make it align with the coding best practices. This could be the most boring part, but again, there are some learnings inside it. So if you're totally looking for machine learning only content, you may find it boring, let's say.
Yeah. But I guess that's in a way unrealistic to think that you will purely do machine learning and data science and you will not have any administrative tasks or any tasks that are not like exciting. Nice. But I mean, if this is your biggest problem, you're good.
Yeah, I mean, it's in every job.
So how is it being a woman in this area? Have you encountered any bias so far?
No. I think, like, on the opposite, that I feel that it's more inclusive and an open environment. At least my experience tells that. I would say for my previous work experiences, I would say yes to that, but right now, no. It's like a totally open, inclusive culture that I'm working in. And while I was looking for jobs, like, I also didn't encounter this.
Nice. That's good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good to hear. I feel like we're, as a community, we're getting better at this every day.
Yeah, hopefully it will get better for everyone one day, like not only for women, but all people.
Exactly. And so my final question to you is actually asking for advice. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to become data scientist / machine learning engineer or someone who wants to get a remote job or have a remote career?
What I would say is, you know, first thing is don't wait to be ready for something. I mean, just if you feel like you have the cultural fit or you have the, you have some vibes aligning with the company, or you just like something about the company, and do you think that if the position is okay for you and you can still develop and improve yourself on the job, just go for it. Like, don't wait to be ready, because I did this, for example, like, let me do this one more project and apply this, or let me write this one more blog post and I'll do that. And don't do that. Just go for it, I would say. And the second thing is explore like ML products or tools in the area right now. Like there are a lot of startups emerging offering products that building ML solutions easier, just have a look at those products. And you cannot know like what will come up after this. For example, I was reading through this Hacker News page, and there were some also interesting threads about the interesting products. And I just found a product, and I found it cool, and I just contacted with the founder of it, for example. And then we did an interview, but I didn't, I didn't send this email with an interview intention, you know? So just be open and just be open to everything and, you know, explore the field that we are in or the industry. And communicate and be open for everything.
Yeah, that's amazing advice. That's actually very good advice. I totally agree with it. It makes such a difference when you are an open person and you just reach out to people just to ask questions. You know, if you're wondering about something, just get in touch with people. And if you're really sincere, I think people can tell, and you end up making connections that are going to help you a lot in the future.
And I was, you know, I was hesitant about these emails at the first time, but then I got responses and I was amazed by like how people are helpful or willing to help you or willing to at least communicate with you if you go with a concrete things to them. So that's amazing, I think.
Ceren, thank you so much for coming on the show. I think this was very fun, and it was great to hear about how you found your first job and also what you're doing right now. So thanks a lot for taking the time.
I thank you, Musra, for inviting me on this podcast.
Hey, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to take my free data science Kickstarter course to learn what it takes to become a data scientist. See you next time.